Chapter 3 Flesh Market. Fabius's army grew as it descended. Mutant packs slithered out of hiding or from behind makeshift barricades, chanting joyfully as they flooded through the corridors in his wake.
Ave pater mutatis! Ave pater mutatis!
The savage hymn leapt ahead of them, drawing others from hiding. It rang out across the Vox system, echoing down through every deck and bay, alerting the crew that their lord and master was back among them. When Fabius and the others reached their destination, their numbers had swelled greatly. As shows of power went, it was adequate. While Fabius doubted the rebels would be impressed, it would at least make them hesitate before they did something foolish, and if it didn't, Diomat would. He glanced back at the dreadnought, marching ponderously among the mutated dregs that loped and snarled about him. He wondered what the ancient thought of these times he found himself in. What did he think of all that had befallen his legion in the millennia since they'd gutted themselves at Horus's behest? Had it truly driven him mad, as it had so many of his kind, or was he resigned to it, to forever being the tool of ever more degenerate masters? Despite Diomat's reticence, he felt a certain kinship with the ancient warrior. Both were hobbled by the mistakes of others, and neither had any love for the legion that had abandoned them. And yet, some spark of loyalty remained, some ember of the old dream waiting to be fanned into new life.
"Your creations love you," Sakara said, intruding on his reverie. "They worship you."
The word-bearer glared about him, his hand resting on his holstered bolt pistol. The singing visibly irritated him.
"And so? They see you as a god."
Sakara spoke flatly, his anger evident.
"Their lives are hard enough. I see little reason to remove what joy they might get from my presence."
Fabius smiled.
"Besides, at least I exist. At least I walk among them. The gods are with us, whether we perceive them or not."
"Very pious."
Fabius glanced at the word-bearer.
"Which ones stalk among us at the moment, and whose side are they on?"
Sakara looked away, and Fabius snorted.
"I thought not."
He looked up.
"Ah!"
A thick forest of gantries and iron-runged steps spread out ahead of them, bathed by the light of alarm klaxons and sputtering lumens. And at its heart, the flesh market. The flesh market was a common causeway between decks, where the crew had erected a makeshift bazaar to trade rations and sell trinkets. On the rare occasions that the Vesalius docked, the masters of the market sent their subordinates scurrying forth to acquire anything and everything that might be of some value. Fabius was content to leave them to their diversions, so long as they performed their duties to his satisfaction. It had grown over the centuries, spreading out along the cramped confines of the causeway, becoming a shanty town, taller than it was wide. Rickety walkways and creaking gantries stretched like metallic webs over the accumulation of crude tents. Normally, the market was a noxious stew of stink and sound. Now, it was a ravaged ruin. The rebels had fallen upon it like locusts and stripped it of everything that could be consumed, inhaled, or otherwise indulged in. Bodies dangled from above, strung up like demented marionettes. Others had been impaled on improvised stakes, and a thicket of corpse trees clustered thick about the end of the causeway. Fabius looked up at the twitching remains and sighed.
"Such waste!"
He started forward, ignoring the soft, incessant patter of the blood that drizzled down from the highest bodies.
"Who will fly the ship if they kill everyone?"
"I suspect they aren't thinking that far ahead," Arian said. "Most of the crew have barricaded themselves into their berths, or on the gunnery decks, in any event. Those who haven't are proving elusive. Igori's pack is giving them quite a bit of trouble any time they try to push into the upper decks."
"Good. How many has she disposed of?"
12 so far.
"Progenoids?"
Only two viable ones. Arian tapped one of his skulls. I have stored them safely.
I expected no less. Who is actually in command of these ingrates? Merix?
A figure stepped into the dim light ahead of them.
No, Lieutenant Commander, though I did offer my services.
The newcomer's voice was a wheezing rasp, slithering through the corroded, fang-like grill of a respirator. Striations of infection climbed across his preternaturally wizened features, and he stank of rot and death. Merix had been dying for as long as Fabius had known him. Likely, he had been dying since the remnants of the Third had fled Terra, their ships loaded down with slaves and plunder. Impact craters marked the flat panes of his Mark III power armor, and the servos whined and sputtered as he approached. He flexed his prosthetic hand as he moved, as if to relieve a persistent ache. Fabius stopped. Arian reached for one of his blades, but a look from his master stilled him. Fabius smiled as Merrick stopped, just out of easy reach.
I take it that you are reconsidering your loyalties. Wise, under the circumstances.
Merrick glanced at Diomat, looming behind them, and shrugged.
I have never been accused of stupidity.
Your common sense does you credit.
Fabius indicated the distant conglomeration of tents and barricades.
Who is in charge?
It depends on who you ask.
Fabius nodded, unsurprised. Discipline was the only taboo left to the Third.
Well, I suppose we'll find out directly, won't we?
He glanced at Merrix.
Feel free to sidle back into your hole until this is over, if you wish.
Merrix gave a rattling, rasping laugh.
And miss all the fun? I think not.
He fell into step with Arian and the others.
Besides, I want to see the looks on their faces when they realize you aren't dead.
I was. It is no difficult state of affairs.
Even after Paramar, after all this time, I'm not used to that.
Merrix shook his head. He flexed his hand again.
Sometimes I wish I could depart this husk as easily as you do your own. Like a serpent shedding a skin it has outgrown.
That could be arranged, Fabius murmured. Crafting a healthy, undamaged clone would cost me little in the way of effort.
But what would it cost me?
Fabius shrugged.
Not more than you could bear, I'm sure.
He looked at the other space marine.
Then, given the state of your current corpus, there is no guarantee that a cloned body would resemble your old one in any way. Indeed, I find myself curious as to what might come of it.
The chirurgeon's limbs twitched, as if eager to take a sample. Merrix shuffled away, bloodshot eyes narrowed.
I think I am content in myself, for the moment.
Fabius gestured dismissively.
Would that more of our brothers were of a similar mind. It might have saved us a lot of trouble early on.
Including you?
Fabius didn't reply. He looked ahead. There was something rising out of the murk. He squinted.
What is that?
They've made a bulwark from the corpses, Arian said.
They still have some sense of efficiency, at least,
Korak said.
They remember what a bulwark is, if not the proper materials with which to construct one.
Bodies serve as bricks well enough. They did on Terra.
Fabius shook his head. More crew that would need replacing. Luckily, mutants bred like rats, and they had enshrined their function as tradition, enabling the ship's operations to continue without incident. The Vesalius was a self-regulating system in many ways.
At times, he fancied that he and the others were nothing more than parasites, living in the belly of an ever-evolving beast. Strange sounds rose from the bulwark, eating away at the silence. Heavy forms moved swiftly across the gantries above, shadowing his procession. He had left his helmet mag-clamped to his hip, so he couldn't hear the vox chatter, but he could imagine the whispered conversations, the idolatrous prayers, the hissed threats. The air throbbed with their spite. He drank it in, head lifted high, and smoothed the folds of his coat of flayed and tanned flesh. They hated him, and feared him, his brothers. Good. Let them. They had cause, as did he. Better curses in the open than a knife in the dark. This confrontation had been building for centuries, and he almost looked forward to it. Part of it was biological. A new body was prone to such anticipations. Space Marines were nothing more or less than biological weapons. They were built for war and longed for it on a genetic level. Normally, he dampened those urges in himself, but he hadn't had time to synthesize the correct dosages for this husk. Then, perhaps it was a good thing. For too long of late, he'd indulged in a hermit's existence, shrinking into himself, seeing only the next problem, seeing only another strand in a web of ever-increasing complexity. But this was a simple problem, with a simple solution. A smile split his features. Fabius waved Arian and the others back as the miasma cleared and the bulwark, as well as what lurked behind it, was revealed.
Well.
He studied the line of guns and the hostile shapes behind them. Their battleplate was a confusing muddle of colours and modifications. The dark purple of their original heraldry was visible in some places, beneath spills of silk or excess gilding. Tall crests of turquoise and white rose from helmets scooped to shallow points, and tusk-like extrusions erupted from rebreathers and grills. Golden chains jangled from shoulder plates and cuirasses, and censers fumed softly, filling the air with a malign sweetness. Many had etched oaths of indulgence into their companions' armour with ritual blades, or traded battle pacts scrawled on ragged coils of parchment, reaffirmations of brotherhood. Once, such things would have been mere tradition. Now, they were a harsh necessity. A legion of hedonists could not trust itself, and so the wary and the pragmatic swore by the 600 names of Slaanesh and pledged themselves to the defence of their brothers. To break such a vow was to court the wrath of the Dark Prince. Some of the warriors before him were singing softly, a panting hymn, or perhaps a prayer for indulgence, a sure sign of their unease. He shook his head. Every time he saw them like this, arrayed for battle in all their garish glory, he could not help but compare them to the warriors they might once have been. When their drive for perfection had pushed them to the heights of discipline rather than the depths of excess.
Well, he said again, what is this I see before me?
Silence. A wall of hostility. Then someone called out,
why are you here, flesh crafter? Shouldn't you be rotting on a slab?
Muted laughter followed this witticism. Fabius smiled and spread his hands.
Where there is discord, I seek to bring harmony. Where there is despair, I bring hope. That is what I offer you. Harmony and hope.
Is that why you come here with an army?
That is why I come here at all. I could simply have drowned you in an ocean of altered flesh. I have stores of chattel as yet unmolested by you. War mutants and beast packs in their hundreds, all aching for a taste of Adeptus Astartes' blood.
He struck the deck with torments for rule.
Then you are already well aware of that, I think. How many of you have gone missing in the dark places? How many screams have echoed across the vox, only to be cut short? You have been aboard this vessel for too long not to realize that there are far worse things than any of you lurking in the lower decks.
He laughed, loud and long, a strong laugh, not the wheezing chuckle they'd become used to. The sound unsettled them more than his apparent strength.
I refuse to bargain with faceless rabble. Send out your leaders to negotiate. Oh, I will come in there and find them myself.
He lifted his hand and activated the hololithic chronometer built into his vambrace. Numbers flickered to life, counting down.
You have until the countdown ends.
A bit histrionic, but then his brothers had always appreciated a bit of melodrama to enliven the tedium of their existence. He did not turn away from them as the numbers ticked over. The chirurgeon sent a pulse of stimulants into him, in preparation for the confrontation to come. Finally, two figures stepped through a gap in the bulwark, jostling each other slightly as they moved to meet him. He ended the countdown and lowered his arm.
Thalopsis! And Savona, of course. I should have realized.
Fabius leaned on Torment, studying them. Thalopsis was a figure of barbaric splendor. His battle plate was daubed in garish hues, and he wore a tabard of crudely stitched flesh. A twisted spur of metallic bone erupted from one shoulder plate, and his helm had congealed into a leonine death mask, frozen in an eternal snarl. A shaggy flood of crimson hair spilled from the open back of his helmet and across his shoulders. His hands rested on the pommel of the curved Xenos blade sheathed on his hip. Savona, in contrast, was taller than the space marines around her, for all that she had been mortal once. Her lithe form was clad in pale amethyst power armor, altered to fit her proportions. The armor was no longer metal. Instead, it resembled the carapace of some great insect, sharply edged and unpleasantly contoured. She balanced on long, jointed legs that ended in thick, black hooves. White hair, bound in whip-like braids, hung like a lion's mane from her narrow skull. The lumen light glinted from the golden rings which pierced one nostril. Both had been high in the esteem of the 12th millennial's former commander, Kasparos Telmar. Savona, like Merix, had been one of his joy-bound, his most trusted subordinates. Thalopsis had commanded his huntsmen, bikers mostly, with a love of speed that bordered on the monomaniacal. In the centuries since Telmar's death on Luganath, Thalopsis had become the voice of the disaffected in what remained of the company. But it was Savona, though she had not been a member of the company at its inception, who was the true power in their ranks. She had left the bodies of her rivals littering a thousand worlds as she slowly consolidated her control of the remains of a once mighty warband. Fabius had indulged her in this. Savona was a mystery as yet unravelled, her origins unknown. There were mortal champions aplenty in Ispace, but few rose to any prominence in the warbands of the legions. That she had done so was proof of her determination, if not her skill. She stared at him sourly. Her eyes drifted towards his followers and widened.
"You freed Diomat," she hissed incredulously. "I'm surprised he didn't twist your head off, you sneering serpent."
"I'm sure he considered it," Fabius smiled. "As I'm sure you are reconsidering your current position." "We are in control of this ship," Thalopsis said, "whatever you think." "My crew begs to differ," Fabius said, indicating his followers. "And there are more where they came from. Now, let us dispense with this pretense that you are anything other than a momentary inconvenience and talk. What do you want?"
"This ship," Thalopsis said, "and all aboard it. It is ours by right."
Fabius raised an eyebrow at that. He glanced at Savona, who looked away. That was good. She was distancing herself from Thalopsis already. He wondered whose idea this foolishness had been, and who had merely seen fit to take advantage of it. Was this another of her games, to rid herself of an inconvenient rival? If so, he had to applaud her.
"And what right might that be? Certainly not salvage."
You forced us to abandon the Khwarzazat, our flagship, Thalopsis snarled. Our fleet was left to the mercies of the Eldar, and our brothers as well.
I don't recall you offering to stay and extricate them, Thalopsis, and that cursed ship was dying even as it fled.
Fabius recalled the sounds of the flagship's death agonies as the splinter-thin vessels of the Eldar harried it across the stars.
Nor was it the inviolate citadel you seemed to imagine that it was. Or had you forgotten the Harlequins?
Somehow, in some way he still had not fathomed, the capricious, colourful Xenos clowns that had boarded the Khwarzazat and run amok, even as the ship hurtled away from the wounded craftworld. What crew remained had died. Fabius and his followers had been forced to defend themselves time and again, until at last they'd rendezvoused with the Vesalius and been able to abandon the dying flagship. The last he'd seen of the Khwarzazat, it had been in the process of succumbing to long-delayed annihilation, as its plasma engines overloaded and consumed it in iridescent fire. Sadly, that fire had not claimed the Harlequins as well. He'd caught sight of the strange Xenos once or twice over the course of the intervening centuries. They drifted at the edges of his awareness, shadowing his movements down the long path of years. Their attentions were akin to an itch he couldn't scratch, a constant, unceasing annoyance, but one he'd learned to live with. They had joined the ranks of his enemies and were worth no more consideration than the Dark Council of Sicarus or the Lernaean Brotherhood, or even the fool standing before him now.
"The Harlequins were there for you, not us," Thalopsis said. "If we had handed you over, then..."
"You would have died then, as opposed to now. Surely you can muster some gratitude for that, at least. A few extra centuries of life is no small gift, Thalopsis."
"What gift? We are slaves."
"You are honored guests,
whom you force to fight your battles."
"It is a host's duty to provide entertainment."
Fabius clasped his hands behind his back, torment dangling loosely in his grip.
"And I have, down the years."
He lifted the scepter, and the two warriors drew back slightly. Both had felt its touch more than once, and it was too much for even their excess-addled senses.
"Indeed, in a few paltry hours I shall provide more of it."
"Yes, another dead hulk full of ghosts and dust."
Thalopsis laughed bitterly.
"And another broken path. The dead are boring, fleshcrafter. I demand live prey."
He threw up a hand, and his sycophants among those gathered behind the bulwark bellowed in support.
"Hardly a hulk. A craft world, rather. So ancient that it has no name. Think of the plunder, Thalopsis. Think of the spirit stones."
Thalopsis hesitated. Fabius could almost smell the greed radiating from him. Eldar spirit stones were a currency of sorts among the warriors of the Emperor's children. Each glimmering stone held what was, for all intents and purposes, the soul of its wearer. And there was nothing the followers of Slaanesh enjoyed more than the ephemeral taste of a panicked soul. He had been assured more than once that it was a sensation both exquisite and unique, with no two spirit stones being the same. Some warriors would butcher a planet just to claim one, addicts that they were. Thalopsis, unfortunately, had a clearer head than most.
"No, we've heard those promises before, fleshcrafter. You are generous with words, but a miser when it comes to action. You will keep the greatest bounty for yourself, as ever."
"And why shouldn't I? What does one say when faced with such ingratitude?"
He shook his head.
"I have allowed you the freedom of my holdings and the right to plunder my stores to your greedy heart's content. I have healed your wounds, repaired your battle plate, and put shells in your bolters and meat in your bellies. All I ask in return is the occasional favor, and for this I am condemned."
He stabbed the deck with Torment's ferrule, metal clanging on metal.
"Favors, he calls them,"
Savona said loudly. She extended her power maul in an accusatory gesture, playing to the crowd.
"You spend our lives like bolter shells, old man, and deny us all but the simplest of comforts. Where are our slaves, our joy toys and flesh pots?"
"A waste of precious resources," Fabius said offhandedly. "Besides, do I not provide entertainment enough even for your jaded appetites? I have created whole species to live, fight, and die at your pleasure. I've devised new and ever more potent stimulants by the vat. I've unleashed you on archaeomarkets and exodite worlds to plunder at your whim, and still you complain."
"We did not seek a nursemaid, but a leader," Thalopsis snarled. "We have no desire for the one, and if you will not play the part of the other, then we shall take what we wish. And afterwards we will feed your rancid carcass to the beasts that howl endlessly in the depths of this ship."
Fabius studied the leonine masked warrior. The threat was not idle. He'd known this day would come and had prepared accordingly. A third of the would-be rebels were addicted to substances only he could provide. Perhaps Savona, or more likely Thalopsis, had promised them an endless supply of narcotics hidden in his apothecarium. But some of those he could see were already showing signs of withdrawal. Their ravaged systems would begin to shut down. They would be little threat then. But he had no time for such waiting games. They were drawing nearer to their destination with every passing hour, and he would need his full concentration for the task ahead. That meant ending this farce here and now.
"Diomat!"
The contemptor dreadnought moved swiftly through the crowd. His footsteps echoed resoundingly through the flesh market like the drumbeat of doom. Mutants scattered from his path with fearful yelps. Diomat paid them little mind. His claws flexed as he drew near.
"Thalopsis, betrayer, false friend, long have I awaited this."
His voice boomed out of the vox broadcasters built into his chassis.
"Long have I dreamed of crushing your skull in my claws and casting your soul into whatever hell awaits you."
Savona ducked aside as the dreadnought charged towards them. Fabius was confident that she would not interfere, nor would the warriors watching from the bulwark. Some of them might consider it, but for all intents and purposes, this was an honor duel. And though they might have cast all other traditions into the dust, the concept of the duel was still sacrosanct among the sons of Fulgrim. Thalopsis's hand flew to his blade, but not quickly enough. Diomat put on a sudden burst of speed. One long arm launched out, and his claws snapped shut on Thalopsis's head, even as the latter swept his sword out, carving a scar across the dreadnought's chassis. There was a wet, crunching sound, and the renegade's headless body collapsed in a heap.
"I am Diomat!"
Diomat hurled the crushed remnants of Thalopsis's head at the bulwark and advanced towards it, claws working.
"I stood at Walpurgis!"
One massive mechanical foot lashed out, slamming into the wall of corpses. It toppled over with a soft sound as warriors scattered.
"You know me!"
Not a shot was fired, nor protest made. They knew better.
"Come!"
Diomat demanded.
"Where is your courage now, brothers? Has it departed along with my chains? To think that I was ever proud to stand among you puling curs!"
His curses echoed from gantry to gantry, but none answered them. Eventually, the dreadnought fell silent, save for the rhythmic click of his claws.
"Merix!"
Fabius called after a time, holding Savona's gaze as he did so. She sneered at the other warrior as he approached, and Merix's glare could have cut ice.
"You will oversee the decimation. 1 in 10 to be handed over to me,
for summary judgment.
Light sentence,
Merrick said.
Still, there are fewer than 100 warriors left to the company. Are you sure it is wise?
The ones you choose will accompany me on my expedition. Any who survive will be forgiven their trespasses and allowed to rejoin the 12th millennial.
Fabius looked at Savona.
And you will lead them, my dear. Consider it penance for encouraging Thalopsis in this foolishness.
Savona smiled, baring thin fangs.
I did nothing.
I noticed. It is the only reason you are alive.
He looked over the remains of the bulwark.
You wanted my attention. Well, now you have it.
He looked at her.
The question is, what are you going to do with it?
A good question,
Merrix murmured, as he and Savona watched the chief apothecary stride away. Already the tensions of the rebellion were fading, drawn away even as the rest of the bulwark came down.
Why did you engineer this farce?
Savona chuckled.
I was growing tired of Thalopsis's bluster. And without him, there is one less challenger to your authority. How many of my brothers have you killed now? A dozen?
Merrix looked around. Mutants scrambled everywhere, cleaning up after their murderers. Arian and the other apothecaries moved among the dead like carrion birds, taking samples. The bodies of the dead would become provender for the crew, or would be added to the great flesh vats that bubbled away eternally somewhere below them.
Not enough,
she looked at him.
You're in charge now.
Merrix shrugged.
Only for the moment. Someone will rise to the occasion soon enough. Of that, I have no doubt. Perhaps even you. Legion will only follow Legion, she said with a frown. They would follow you if you gave a damn. Once, I think you did. You scrambled for power as much as any of us. What has become of you?
Merrick said nothing for several moments, then...
Oleander.
Savona laughed.
Oleander is dead, or wishes he was, wherever he is. Oleander thought, as I once thought, that there was something yet to be salvaged in us. Some spark of who we once were, waiting to be nurtured back into a roaring flame. We are a dying phoenix, building our nest and waiting for the moment of pain that will see us reborn. But I think that moment has been and gone, and we missed it. All we are now is this.
He gestured to the corpses dangling from the gantries, or hanging from their stakes.
And soon it will be as if we have never been anything else.
Savona sighed and tugged on a braid.
You are blinded by nostalgia, Merrix. You do not see the future, only the past. And you do? I see many futures, most of which do not involve you.
She tapped his chest with her maul. The gesture was almost playful.
You were not with the Manflayer when he pierced the Grove of Crystal Seers on Luganath. I was. I saw... Well,
she shrugged,
there is power yet in him. Not like the power that drove the Radiant King in his joyful repose, but power all the same, and I would know what it is. Destiny,
Merrick said, making the word sound like a curse.
Perhaps. Oleander thought so as well, and look where it got him. Oleander was a fool. Like you, he dreamed of the past. All of you do. You are trapped by it, even as you seek to escape it.
She spat a glob of something acidic on the deck.
You think old thoughts, weighed down by old fears. You dream of fire, but give no thought to what comes after. Nothing,
Merrick said. He flexed his prosthetic hand.
Nothing comes after.
Savona shook her head and set her maul over her shoulder.
That you think that is why it will consume you in the end.
She turned away.
Let me know when you've chosen those who are to accompany me into peril and death. I would speak with them beforehand.
Merrick watched her pick her way gracefully across the field of corpses, but said nothing. She was right in her way, but also wrong. There was nothing left for the legions. They had condemned themselves to hell and made themselves kings of its sulphurous expanse, all at the cost of their future. What they were was all that they would be, a dwindling, bitter remnant, increasingly irrelevant and ever more debased. He clenched his false hand, feeling it pull against his ravaged flesh. It vented sparks as worn gears scraped against one another among the feathery strands of alien tissue growing between the cables and pistons. It ached all the time now, and the ache was spreading, crawling through him like an invading force. The chief apothecary had done what he could, but the rot went too deep. It hurt, but the pain was good. Pain helped him focus. It helped him keep alert against the false dreams that sought to wind their way through him. The whispers of half-seen shapes, seeking to beguile him down crooked roads. For a moment, faces pressed against the outer edges of his perception. Androgynous faces, murmuring, giggling, leering, poking and prodding at his determination. He blinked them away in irritation. The gods were impatient. They wanted a man to run when he would prefer to walk.
But he will have to wait for my soul until I am ready.
A space marine approached, his armor inscribed with line upon line of obscene Camosian gutter poetry. His name was Belophus, formerly of the 214th millennial, one of Savona's followers, Merrick recalled. Or he had been. Loyalties were more fluid these days. "Are we spared, then?" he asked, tapping tunelessly against the hilt of his sword. Merrick laughed bitterly.
"You ought to know better than that, brother."
He shook his head and started towards the crumbling bulwark. He had a decimation to conduct.
There is no such thing as mercy among these evil stars.